Hitchings. Statement, Home Secretary.
With permission, Madam Deputy Speaker, I'd like to make a statement about the independent inquiry into child sexual abuse. Last Thursday, the report of the independent inquiry into child sexual abuse was published. It concludes 7 years of investigation into institutional failure across England and Wales to protect and safeguard children from child sexual abuse. I want to thank the chair of the inquiry, Professor Alexis Jay, and her whole team for their fearless dedication and commitment to uncovering generations of horrendous societal, professional and institutional failings. I've written to Professor Jay and I've offered to meet in the coming weeks to discuss her findings. Above all, I want to extend my profound gratitude to the thousands of victims and survivors who've come forward to share their testimonies and experience with the inquiry. It took immense courage. We will honour that courage by keeping their voices front and centre in everything we do, in overseeing a radical improvement on how this crime is dealt with and prevented. Madam Deputy Speaker, the whole House will be deeply moved by the reasons that victims and survivors gave for wanting to share their story. They wanted their experience to be acknowledged, to be listened to be taken seriously, to protect other children from suffering as they have suffered. Yet they also wanted not to be defined by this experience and defined, as one survivor put it, life after abuse. Madam Deputy Speaker, they are heroic. Nothing is more wicked than hurting a child, and there is no worse dereliction of duty than failing to protect a child. The report reveals horrific abuse of children. It makes for devastating and distressing reading. It finds that organisations have put their reputations ahead of protecting vulnerable children, either turning a blind eye or actively covering up abuse. And this is inexcusable. I'm a father of three children, and this report has made for very difficult reading. I cannot imagine the pain victims have been through. So, Madam Deputy Speaker, I say this on behalf of the government and all governments that come before. To all the victims who have suffered this horrendous abuse, I am truly sorry. The inquiry heard from more than 7,300 victims and survivors. They've investigated abuse not only over the last 7 years, but for over several decades. The report makes a wide range of recommendations, including greater accountability, increased reporting, better redress for victims, an increased focus on bringing perpetrators of these abhorrent acts to justice, and a stronger voice from government on this issue. And the government will take all of these recommendations and the insights provided by brave survivors seriously. Getting this right will mean everyone redoubling their efforts and working more closely together. All of the government, the police, the health and care system, local authorities, schools and all other interested parties. And I'll convene meetings with ministers across Whitehall to drive that change. Our new Child Protection Ministerial Group, set up following the care review, will champion children's safety at every level and provide the leadership to oversee reforms across social services and care services. And several government departments have been core participants in this inquiry, and we've been working to respond in real time to recommendations already made during the course of this inquiry. The actions we have taken include the government's Tackling Child Sexual Abuse strategy, published in January of last year, driving initiatives to increase reporting of this too often hidden crime, including awareness-raising campaigns, and to improve the confidence and capabilities of frontline professionals to identify and respond to child sexual abuse. Ensuring that education professionals and safeguarding professionals are better equipped and supported in identifying harmful sexual behaviours and protecting children from peer-on-peer abuse and harm. Targeting offenders by investing in the National Crime Agency, GCHQ, new technology and giving the police stronger powers and providing better support to victims, committing to a new victims bill and increased funding for specialised support services. The conclusion of the independent inquiry into child sexual abuse marks the end of a vital period of reflection and learning. It also marks, though, the start of the next chapter in how society confronts and defeats this evil. Nothing must be allowed to get in the way, be it inertia, misplaced cultural sensitivities, indifference, self-interest, or cowardice from those whose job it is to protect children. In fact, Madam Deputy Speaker, it is the job of every adult to do all they can to protect children. Anything less is a profound moral failing, let alone a professional and institutional failing. Walking by on the other side is never acceptable. Would-be abusers need to know that they will be caught and punished. Victims need to know that it is never their fault and they will be heard and protected. I've laid a copy of the inquiry's report in Parliament. It's only right that the government will now take time to carefully consider its findings and recommendations in full. We will respond comprehensively and in line with the inquiry's deadline. But let me make this promise now. I will use all available levers to protect our children and right the wrongs exposed by the inquiry's findings. I will do all in my power to improve how law enforcement and the criminal justice system respond to child sexual abuse. And I'll work with my ministerial colleagues and across party lines to hold organisations to account, bring perpetrators to justice, and support victims and survivors with compassion and total care. And where we can act more quickly, we will. That is why we've already announced that through the Support for Victims and Survivors of Child Sexual Abuse Fund, we're allocating £4.5 million over 3 years to 7 organisations to support victims and survivors. And this fund is only the start in addressing the inquiry's recommendations, but another step towards ensuring that we are providing vital support for children and young people who've experienced sexual abuse, adult survivors and parents and care victims. It's also just one part of more than £60 million a year the Home Office is investing in tackling this crime. Madam Deputy Speaker, child sexual abuse is a terrible but preventable crime, and we must prevent it. We will do so with the recommendations of this inquiry in front of us and in the words of heroic survivors ringing in our ears. And I commend this statement to the House.
Shadow Home Secretary Yvette Cooper.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. Can I welcome the new Home Secretary to his post and also thank him for an advance copy of this statement? And can I join him in paying tribute to the victims and survivors who pressed for this inquiry and who have shown great bravery and strength in telling their stories, speaking out to seek justice, to seek truth, and to seek protection for others. And I thank the inquiry team for their work. This is a deeply serious report about one of the worst imaginable crimes, about the sexual abuse and exploitation of children. The violence and pain, the terror that they have described, the degradation and violation, and the consequences that they have felt throughout their lives. And the deep failure of institutions and people in power who were supposed to protect them, a failure to listen, a failure to believe, and a failure to act. And institutions who were found through generations to have protected their own reputation rather than protecting children, and who put deference to authority above a basic duty of care to children who they badly let down. So I and my party join with the Home Secretary and the government in their deep apology towards those who were so badly let down by state institutions who should have kept them safe. We are truly sorry. And the inquiry recommends major changes in child protection and in support for victims. The Home Secretary has rightly committed to oversee a radical improvement in how this crime is dealt with and prevented, and that is welcome. But I have stood at this dispatch box and heard similar promises before. Yep. And his response today is not strong enough and does not go far enough, because this is not just a historic inquiry. The report is clear that child sexual abuse is endemic and increasing, and there are children at risk today and basic child protection issues which are getting worse and need action now in advance of the government's full response to the inquiry. Firstly, the report refers to the explosion in online facilitated child sexual abuse, including the grooming and online streaming of the rape of babies and children. The Home Secretary didn't really mention online harms, and he'll know the bill has been repeatedly delayed. Can he confirm it will definitely complete its remaining stages next week, be accelerated into the Lords, because this is urgent? Can he confirm, too, that the National Crime Agency will not have to make the 20% staff cuts that his predecessors asked them to draw up? Second, the report says significant reductions in the funding of public services after 2010, when referrals were rising, is, and I quote, one of the key factors that has had, quote, a deleterious impact on responses to child sexual abuse. Does he accept that damage done, and is he acting now to ensure child protection services don't have to pay the price of his party's mini-budget when the public spending announcements are made next week? Third, everyone's been expecting the inquiry to recommend a mandatory duty to report child sexual abuse, and Labour's been calling for this since 2014. Can I urge the Home Secretary, therefore, to just announce he will support this one straight away and send a strong signal to those across the sector? Fourth, he referred to the criminal justice system. He will know the charge rate on child sexual abuse has dropped from 32% in 2015 to 12% last year. Will he take urgent action to prosecute dangerous criminals, because that has been getting worse? And fifth, finally, his own department has responsibility for unaccompanied asylum-seeking children, yet the independent inspectorate found just last week they were being placed into unsuitable hotels where the staff hadn't even had DBS checks. And reports over the weekend found hundreds of asylum-seeking children have disappeared. When his own department is failing in the most basic child protection and safeguarding, he will understand that his words today are not enough. Yep. What action has he taken since he saw those reports over the weekend? Yeah. Finally, Madam Deputy Speaker, the Home Secretary, I know, will say he is new in his post, but he will understand that is part of the concern. This report is too important to get lost in all of the political changes that have been taking place and all of the confusion within government. So I would ask him to answer my five urgent questions now and to recognise we owe it to the thousands of victims and survivors who've spoken out, but also to the millions of children in the current generation who are still at risk of abuse, to make sure this inquiry leaves a lasting legacy to protect our children.
Home Secretary.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I thank the Right Honourable Lady for her response to my statement, and I do repeat the message in my statement. I really do want to work cross-party to do all we can to protect the victims and indeed to drive down this appalling crime. She's raised a number of specific points, and I will, if I may, come back to her in writing, because I'll be able to give a more detailed response. One or two things did catch my eye as she was speaking. In particular, I think it's worth the House understanding or knowing, for those who haven't had the chance to read the report, that there were 2 million pages of evidence presented, 2 million, that there have been 107 different recommendations, a further 20 in this report from Thursday. We have started to implement many of the recommendations already, and I listed some in my statement, so I won't backtrack onto them. But it is, as I said, my intention to respond to all of this in full and within the inquiry's own deadline. And as I said, I will try to expedite any that I can. And I know that in particular the Right Honourable Lady was calling for mandatory reporting, and I've noted that comment I will look at all of those individual areas. I wanted to just say that the picture on things like prosecutions is a little bit more complicated than has been presented in that response. For example, the number of convictions has increased by 39% for indecent images and offences in the last year alone. But I do accept that overall there is still a huge task to be done, and the Online Safety Bill contains some very important clauses. I haven't caught up with the managers for bills, but I know that it is progressing quickly, and I do want to see that happen. Because the figures are staggering here, 103,000 child sex offences recorded by the police in the last year alone, and it is the case that because so much of this has gone online, that she's right to pinpoint the Online Safety Bill and the measures in there as being extremely important. The issue of asylum is something that I take a great deal of interest in, and including in refugees. We have some living in our house, in fact. And I do want to make sure that we do everything that we can. I know that my ministerial colleague has actually made inquiries in the past few days on the priorities with regard to asylum-seeking children as well. I think with that, though, it's probably most helpful to the Right Honourable Lady and to the House if I write back to her in detail on all of her points, and I'd be happy to put that letter in the House's library as well.
This is Theresa May.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. When I set up this inquiry, I said that I thought the public would be shocked at the extent of child sexual abuse that was taking place in our country. I would like to thank Professor Alexis Jay, the other members of the inquiry panel, and all their team for their very hard work in producing this report, but particularly echo the comments of my Right Honourable friend and the Shadow Home Secretary in thanking all those who came forward to give evidence, which will not have been easy for them. And this report has indeed shone a light on the horrific violence against children that has been taking place in the past, but also sadly takes place today as well. The government now has an opportunity on the back of this inquiry report to make changes that will make a real difference. So I urge my Right Honourable friend to make sure that all parts of government take this report and treat it with utter seriousness, and particularly the recommendation on mandatory reporting.
Home Secretary.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I thank my Right Honourable friend for all that she did in setting this inquiry up. 7 years, 725 witnesses, 20 reports across 15 investigations, 24 research reports, and as I mentioned before, 2 million pages of evidence processed. It is extremely important that we take all of this information and make sure that we act on it. I give this undertaking from the dispatch box today to honour the spirit in which my Right Honourable friend set up the report in the first place.
SNP spokesperson Stuart C. MacDonald.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I too welcome the Home Secretary to his place, and like him, thank the inquiry members and their staff for their incredibly thorough and painstaking work over many years. And like everybody else, I think the most important thing to do is to pay tribute to all those survivors who participated courageously, recounting their own horrific experiences. And they did so seeking acknowledgement and accountability, but also in the hope that children in the future will be protected from the same dreadful ordeal. And so, as the Home Secretary says, it's incumbent on all of us now to work constructively to make those aspirations a reality. Now, obviously, Madam Speaker, there's a lot to consider. So while it's good to be able to question the Home Secretary on the report today, I think many of us here would appreciate the opportunity in due course for a full debate, perhaps, in this chamber, or at least regular updates on progress in implementing the recommendations of the report. Most of the report and the recommendations are focused on England and Wales, but as the report notes, this is a global crisis, and a similar inquiry is, of course, ongoing in Scotland as well. And can I therefore just highlight the growing concerns outlined in the report about how child sexual exploitation is being facilitated by modern slavery and trafficking? And there has been a lot of concerning chatter in recent weeks from the Home Office about the future of modern slavery laws. Given sexual exploitation is the second most common reason for children being referred into the NRM, could the Home Secretary just acknowledge the importance of modern slavery laws for protecting children from abuse and commit to making those laws work better, rather than tearing them up completely. And also immediately, can I also emphasise what the Shadow Home Secretary said about the very recent worrying reports of asylum-seeking children going missing from hotels on his department's watch? Because I think we are now talking three figures. So can I say a little bit more about what is being done to look into why that is happening and how it can be stopped? And also what progress is being made in rolling out the use of independent child trafficking guardians? And finally, Madam Deputy Speaker, given the time constraints and the fact that the online safety bill is going to be returning next week, we understand what discussions is he having with colleagues about the implications of this report for that bill, including in relation to age verification?
Home Secretary.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I thank the Honourable Gentleman. I know that work's been done. I think there was a report 5 years ago, and there's ongoing work now on reports in Scotland separate to this, but with many cross-cutting themes. He rightly asks about the modern slavery laws, many of which we have my right honourable friend to thank for, and I do want to reassure him that changes that are made for the specific purposes of making sure that potential loopholes are closed would not have an impact on the main purpose, as he describes. As I said a moment ago on the online safety bill, and thank you for reminding us it returns very shortly, I am ensuring that the findings, many of which were in the interim report, will be covered in the online safety bill. On his other comments about asylum seekers and hotels, I will return to him, and I'll do so in writing.
Sajid Javid.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Can I first of all welcome my right honourable friend into his place, and he'll know that his role comes with huge responsibility, especially when it comes to protecting our children. And that's why I welcome his statement. I welcome the comments of the Shadow Home Secretary as well. And of course, I welcome this final report. And I want to add my thanks to Professor Alexis Jay, the victims and survivors, and her entire team for producing this excellent report. Can I just ask my right honourable friend, in particular about the disclosure and barring service, which I think is referenced some 84 times in the report. When I led a commission in 2020 into child sexual abuse and exploitation, there were a number of issues we discovered around the DBS service, but in particular the ability for some people to simply change their name and avoid detection despite being convicted child sexual abusers. This loophole had still not been closed by the government. So can I urge him to work with his colleagues in the MOJ and close this as quickly as possible?
Home Secretary.
Madam Deputy Speaker, my right honourable friend who has of course occupied this post is very knowledgeable on this particular subject, and I thank him for his intervention. It is very concerning about the DBS service, and actually I've asked my ministerial colleague to look into this urgently, and that work is already underway, so I will report back to the House.
Chair of the Home Affairs Select Committee, Dame Diana Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. And can I too pay tribute to all those victims and survivors who gave testimony to the inquiry, and also pay tribute to the Right Honourable Lady for Maidstone for establishing this inquiry in the first place. And we can all agree that victims and survivors have waited far too long for this inquiry and for robust action to be taken against child sexual abuse, and we mustn't waste any more time. So I wanted to ask the Home Secretary whether he could commit within this session of Parliament to bring forward any legislative changes that need to be introduced, particularly around mandatory reporting.
Home Secretary.
Well, I thank the Honourable Lady, particularly with her expertise in this area, for her point. I do want to say that, as I said in my comments, I want to act as quickly as possible. I think she'll appreciate with the amount of information that's been provided in this report, which was 7 years in the making, and in fact £184 million in the production throughout the 7 year period. There is an awful lot here that we need to look at, consider, and come back to the House and report on. So I'd rather go through that process systematically to make sure that we get it right than make a promise from this dispatch box that I don't yet know that I would be able to fulfil. What I can reassure her and all members across the House is I will be doing that with the utmost speed and determination.
Michael Gove.
Thank you very much, Madam Deputy Speaker. Can I welcome my right honourable friend to his place and commend him for his response to this report, as well as obviously thanking my right honourable friend, the member for Maidenhead, for establishing it in the first place. The stories of the victims make horrific reading. My right honourable friend will be aware that when it comes to the detection and the tackling of child sexual abuse and exploitation, a critical role is played by children's social workers, the overwhelming majority of whom do outstanding work in the most difficult of circumstances. But we can do more to support them. Will my right honourable friend also work with the Secretary of State for Education to look once more at Martin Nehry's report on how we can improve social work education, and also see if more resource can be devoted to ensuring that the work of Frontline, the organisation that brings the brightest and the best from higher education into social work, can be expanded?
Home Secretary.
Well, my right honourable friend makes an excellent point. I mean, first of all, the report itself is actually very difficult reading. I mean, you start to read some of the testimony, he's absolutely right. I also agree with him about paying tribute to actually the vast majority of frontline workers and social workers who do an extraordinary job. He's probably familiar with the Independent Centre of Expertise on Child Sexual Abuse, which was funded by the Home Office and set up in 2016, which had been helping to provide and strengthen the ability for professionals to identify sexual abuse. But to answer this question directly, I will undertake to work with the Secretary of State for Education, indeed actually pulling together Secretaries of State and Ministers from across the government to make sure that we work on this particular issue and make sure that we stamp out sexual abuse of youngsters.
Steve McCabe.
Thank you. Can I also congratulate the Right Honourable Lady for Maidenhead for having the courage and determination to establish this inquiry at a time when I recall it wasn't popular everywhere. When I worked in this field in the late 80s, one of the things that struck me was that we tended to put more emphasis on finding the evidence to prosecute the perpetrator than focus on the damage that had been experienced by the victim. I appreciate it's sometimes a difficult balance to strike. But in that context, can I ask the Home Secretary to think about the problems victims face as they try to negotiate this myriad of services today when they're seeking help? There's a lot of faith now in the child house model, which is essentially an all-in-one service that tries to make it easier for victims. Will he do what he can to make sure that that model is properly resourced so that we're not treating the needs of the victim as second place to the prosecution of the perpetrator?
Yeah.
Home Secretary.
I think the Honourable Gentleman makes an excellent point. And one of the problems with child sexual abuse is that it can happen in so many different settings, in so many different environments, that it's difficult to have one central location to always deal with it. But what you can do, I think, is provide the services, the expertise, some of the different initiatives I referred to in my comments, to help to bring that support. And I absolutely agree with him and determined to do that on behalf of all the children who've been abused and to prevent further abuse in the future.
Laura Ferris.
Thank you, Speaker. I'd also like to pay tribute to my right honourable friend for establishing the inquiry and to Professor Jay for her report. I know something about how difficult and painstaking the evidence-gathering exercise was, because I was a barrister on the inquiry for a year in 2017, from Dolphin Square to the Catholic Church, from Young Offenders Institutes to residential schools. The findings of the inquiry reveal the extent of prolonged child abuse in places often where children were meant to be being kept safe, and repeatedly, if they complained about it, they were accused of lying or even blamed for it happening in the first place. There are multiple lessons from the report, but I'd like to ask my right honourable friend this. There are specific findings in relation to sexual predators, paedophiles, who travel overseas to abuse children. And the report finds that civil orders restricting foreign travel are often underused and ineffective because they only prohibit travel to a named country, which means that the perpetrator can circumvent that restriction by taking a different route. Could he say what the Home Office is doing to tighten up the restrictions in that area specifically?
Home Secretary.
First of all, Madam Deputy Speaker, I pay tribute to my colleague for her work in 2017. It can't have been an easy pieces of legal work to do. And she's absolutely right to say it's never the fault of the victims. And we need to make sure that the response from officialdom is never to disbelieve and never to blame the victim either. She raises a very important point about the narrow scope of those civil orders, and we'll certainly be undertaking to look at those and how they could be operate much more efficiently.
Helen Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. On behalf of my party, I'd like to echo the comments of honourable colleagues from both sides of the House, praising the bravery of the victims and emphasise that we recognise the lasting physical, emotional and psychological damage to the victims. Our thoughts are with them as this report comes out. We endorse all the recommendations of the inquiry and call for them to be implemented urgently. But I'd specifically like to ask Madam Deputy Speaker whether the Minister would commit to a long-term Liberal Democrat call, which is a recommendation in the report as well, to sponsor a meaningful public campaign to make children more confident when reporting incidents.
Home Secretary.
Well, one of the things that has happened, I think, since the Savile case and the publicity that my right honourable friend for Maidenhead has brought by calling this inquiry in the first place is a lot more people are coming forward, which is a very good thing. And there have actually been specific pieces of work, including some which I already referenced, which are already underway to make sure that people, that children, know that those routes to reporting are there. I am sure there is still more to be done, and I will be taking a very close look at what more can be achieved.
Tim Lawton.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. Can I disclose my interest as the chairman of a safeguarding board? And as one of the six MPs, I think it was, who harangued the former Home Secretary, my right honourable friend, for Maidenhead to set up this inquiry, can I absolutely commend the huge amount of work that Alexa Jastrey and her team have undertaken and the bravery of those survivors who have come forward with their testimonies. I completely agree with all the comments the Home Secretary has just made. The trouble is, they were all included in the government's first child sexual exploitation strategy, which I published back in 2011. What has changed, and particularly given the call for a continued change in culture, the fact that this is getting worse and that criminals are using technology to find even more ghastly ways of abusing children? And can I specifically ask on two of the recommendations, what does he think the role of a child protection authority would be and how it would interact with CEOPS, and whether he thinks it was a good idea to roll CEOPS into the National Crime Agency rather than keep its independence? And finally, as he himself has commented about the need to have cross-governmental response to this, does he agree with the recommendation that many of us have wanted for many, many years about the creation of a cabinet-level minister for children looking after 20% of the population, and particularly those most vulnerable ones, which is what this report is all about?
Home Secretary.
I thank my honourable friend. Actually, he may not remember this, but the very first time that we met was actually when he was, I think, shadow children's minister, and I know, and the whole House knows, of his extraordinary work campaigning on these issues for very many years. I've heard what he has to say. I hope he'll forgive me 3 or 4 days into the job not having all of the answers for him, but I can certainly tell him that I will undertake to write to him with them. I would just say that although he's right that in 2011, I think the year that he refers to in his report, that some of these issues were emerging, what we've seen, particularly through the publicity that this inquiry has brought to it, is vastly more information and data come forward. He's asked me some very specific questions about CEOPS and also whether there should be a minister or even a cabinet minister for children. It is one of the recommendations in the report. I will make sure that I respond to the House on this within the timelines or even sooner of the report. I would just add a comment that I think we all, in a sense, have to be ministers for children. We should all have all care about this as we all look after children in different forms, as the whole of society has that responsibility as well. But I will certainly come back to him on his inquiries.
Florence Ashlomi.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker, and I welcome the Home Secretary to his post. If anyone has picked up this report, the findings are very difficult, and you don't need to be a parent to be disturbed by some of those testimonies. One of the areas which I've spoken a lot about in this House is the young women who are sexually abused and assaulted by criminals in terms of child criminal exploitation. Some of them face the horrific treatment that some of these victims have. They are victims that we should not believe, but they are never believed because they are involved in crime. The Home Secretary referenced the Victims Bill. Could I urge him that when that bill finally comes forward, that we look at the issue of child criminal exploitation, our young boys and girls that are being sexually assaulted by gang members, and they know that they get away with it because those young people are viewed as criminals.
Home Secretary.
The Honourable Lady is absolutely right, and of course this actually plays into the wider issues of gang traffickers as well, because they know that they can be in an exploitative situation and do exploit, in particular girls, but all children in doing so. She makes reference to the Victims Bill. It was, of course, published in May in draft format. The whole point of that is to have pre-legislative scrutiny of it. I know that many organisations and many colleagues across the House have been involved in that, and I think that will mean that we come forward with the legislation which is in a better place to tackle many of the issues that she and others in this House have raised.
Miriam Cates.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker, and can I welcome my right honourable friend's statement and the commitments that he's made to looking at the recommendations of the review. But the problem is, Madam Deputy Speaker, that that child sexual exploitation and abuse is getting worse in this country. And in 2020, the Internet Watch Foundation found 153,000 images of child sexual abuse online and reported a 77% increase in self-generated images of sexual abuse. So I welcome his commitments to the Online Safety Bill. But the truth is that it's the proliferation of online pornography, which is increasingly extreme in nature, that is driving up demand for child sexual exploitation. And in fact, I think the word teen is one of the most commonly searched terms on Pornhub. So when will the government acknowledge that online pornography is an enormous public health issue, child protection issue, and criminal justice issue that is driving a lot of the child sexual exploitation that we see today?
I absolutely pay tribute to my honourable friend. She mentioned some figures. The ones that really stuck out to me were that in 2021 alone, global technologies companies reported more than 29 million suspected instances of child sexual abuse material on their platforms. And to be clear, Madam Deputy Speaker, that's just social media platforms. That's not the whole of the internet. 85 million files, including images of videos of child sexual abuse. So she's absolutely right about the scale of the problem. As she'll know, the Online Safety Bill has clauses in it to specifically deal with some of this. I think she's referencing two parts of this. One are the strictly illegal aspects of it. Those are the Home Office clauses, and then there's the wider issues that DCMS are taking forward in the bill. That bill is active and in front of the House, and she's absolutely right to highlight the necessity of having it complete its passage.
Rachel Maskell.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. This is the most disturbing of reports, probably one of the most disturbing things any member can read. We know that 80,000 children are currently in the care sector, and that's due to increase by 25% over the next decade if intervention isn't made. And we know that children in the care sector are also at greater risk of child sexual exploitation. So can the Secretary of State say how he is going to be working with the independent review over children's services within the care setting, and also if he'll bring and work with the Education Secretary to bring an immediate end to the use of unregulated care settings?
Home Secretary.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I thank the Honourable Lady. I can tell her that we're setting up a cross-government group to specifically work on the issues that she has raised, and that will include with my right honourable friend, the Education Secretary.
Bob Blackman.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker, and I welcome the statement from the new Home Secretary and welcome him to his place. I also add some congratulations to the Right Honourable Member of Maidenhead for actually starting this process in the first place. Child sexual abuse is not new, it's not old. It's been going on since time immemorial. Young children are abused in families, in institutions, by gangs, by paedophiles who groom them online and then abuse them. The sad reality is, for those of us that have lived through a long political career and have seen and witnessed some of the inquiries that have gone on, know that the one thing that combines all these people is they're thoroughly evil. They need to be brought to justice. And whilst it's good news that more people are coming forward to report historical child sexual abuse, What we do need is to ensure that those currently experiencing it are enabled to report what's going on to them and they're believed and action is taken. So will my right honourable friend undertake to do that as a matter of utmost priority?
Secretary.
I absolutely will undertake to do that as a matter of absolute priority. The National Crime Agency, GCHQ, a whole network of undercover officers and others work constantly on tackling organised exploitative crime through a programme. One thing I've been struck in my first few days in this office is the number of warrants that I have to sign off dealing specifically with gangs who are exploiting children. He's absolutely right about the scale of the issue and our determination to stamp it out and work with our partners in enforcement agencies knows no bounds.
Helen Hayes.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. As one of the members representing a part of the London Borough of Lambeth, and with my friend, the Honourable Member for Vauxhall, sitting next to me, I want to pay tribute to all of the victims and survivors of abuse suffered by children and young people in the care of Lambeth Council. It is a shameful period in the history of our borough. And I also want to pay tribute to those whose harm and trauma that they suffered resulted in their lives being cut short so that they are not here to see and to read the vindication of their experiences that is set out in the final report from ICSA. It is a responsibility of all of us to make sure that such shame can never again come to our communities. But, Madam Deputy Speaker, we delude ourselves if we tell each other that children are safe everywhere in the UK today. We face a situation where 16 and 17-year-olds are routinely placed in unregulated accommodation, putting them at risk of abuse and exploitation, where 222 vulnerable asylum-seeking children have gone missing from Home Office-procured accommodation, and half of all local authority children's services departments are currently rated inadequate or requiring improvement, such that they cannot possibly be doing the best job of protecting the children in their care. So I ask the Home Secretary today, what is the urgent work that he will be doing on a cross-departmental basis to ensure that such horrors as are exposed by this report can never happen again?
Home Secretary.
I actually pay tribute to the Honourable Lady for calling out what's happened in Lambeth and indeed elsewhere, and I have nothing to add to her words as far as that's concerned. A number of members have raised issues concerning unaccompanied children, particularly those seeking asylum. And the accommodation care means that they should be moved within 15 days, but it, I think, needs to be done quicker, if at all possible. We've also set up a programme of paying local authorities increasing placement offers to council by £6,000 to accommodate every child. And she asked about the cross-government work and indeed the cross-party work, possibly I should add to that. It is underway and being led by my honourable friend, the Minister. I will also be taking personal interest in this all the way through and indeed convening meetings with other Secretaries of State in order to tackle this from every possible angle.
David Simmons.
Well, thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. In the 20 years that I led on child protection work in local government, we saw repeated attempts to restructure the systems that we have in place for child protection. But a common thread that seemed to run through every example of failure was a lack of really good information sharing. And even today it is the case that whilst councils are the lead agencies on child protection, they are reliant upon other organisations, the police, the NHS, especially schools, and sometimes in the case of asylum-seeking children, Border Force, to bring evidence to their attention so that early intervention can take place. So I'd like to ask my right honourable friend, will he give some consideration to making some of those safeguarding partners statutory partners in the safeguarding process so that they can be held accountable for their actions in the same way that local authorities, police and the National Health Service are?
My old friend makes an excellent point, actually. This morning I was at the Hertfordshire Constabulary looking at their database, which are very impressive when they book people into custody cells. But I was surprised to learn on questioning that, for example, if somebody had been brought in because they were suspected of abusing somebody, and that could be a child, that data isn't necessarily or automatically shared by all 43 forces across the country. And that's just within police themselves, let alone the crossover that he mentions with other statutory bodies, local authorities, care organisations and others. So the big thing that strikes me very firmly in the first few days in this job is working together with these statutory partners to bring this information together so that it can be flagged up as and where necessary has to be a very important part of the solution. We're living in the 21st century. That should be possible to do, and I take his comments on board and promise that I will be spending a considerable amount of time looking at how we can improve the situation.
Alex Davis-Jones.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I too welcome the Home Secretary to his place, but can I please stress my frustrations that are shared by colleagues across the House. The Online Safety Bill, delayed yet again due to chaos at the heart of this government. 5 years we've been waiting for that legislation. The Victims Bill, promised since 2015 in 4 Queen's speeches, still not brought forward to this House. The Child Abuse Strategy, published, as the Home Secretary says, 18 months ago. What commitments have actually been implemented from that strategy? My right honourable friend, the Shadow Home Secretary, stated that warm words are no longer enough. We need action. So what action, direct action, will the Home Secretary be taking to stop this paralysis of government?
Madam Deputy Speaker, I'm not sure the way the question's put is quite in the spirit of the cross-party way that we are trying to approach this issue. I did set out in quite some detail in the speech a number of different things which have already happened. She refers to the government's tackling child abuse, sexual abuse strategy, which was published last January, and a number of the actions have already been undertaken, including a variety of different initiatives, raising awareness campaigns, which was already mentioned, capability of frontline professionals, identifying and responding to sexual abuse, better education for professionals, protecting peer-on-peer abuse and harm, the National Crime Agency, whom I've already met with and discussed this with, GCHQ, using new technologies, strengthening police power, not, I should say, always voted for by the party opposite. And we're already legislating on the Online Safety Bill, and the Victims Bill is already out in draft. I have to say, we are moving pretty fast, considering that the full report only came out this Thursday.
Alexander Stafford.
Thank you very much indeed, Madam Deputy Speaker. Child sexual abuse has plagued Rotherham for decades. The Lex J report found that over 1,500 girls in my constituency and across Rotherham were raped in a period of 10 to 15 years. Now, one of the reasons why so many people, including children, were victims of these paedophiles and these evil people was that the authorities turned a blind eye and did not report what they saw. So I welcome in this report the recommendation for mandatory reporting of crimes. Could the Home Secretary tell us when that law will actually be introduced, and what sort of punishments will be given out to those who enable these paedophiles by ignoring the victims?
Home Secretary.
My honourable friend's absolutely right. I think I'm right in saying that it was Professor Jay who carried out the work in Rotherham on the report, and it was very clear that things like cultural sensitivities, political sensitivities, were all too often barriers to actually properly dealing with systemic sexual abuse. He asked specifically about things like mandatory reporting. As I mentioned in my comments, I will come back to that and within the time guidelines provided by the report itself, and earlier, if I can.
And Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. Can I also welcome the Secretary of State to his place, wish him well, commend the Honourable Lady for Maidenhead for her initiative, and thank all of those who made contributions and statements to the Independent Inquiry. 1 in 6 girls, 1 in 20 boys suffer sexual abuse before they reach the age of 16 years. Whilst I would have assumed that this statistic is for a third world country, unfortunately it's not. The shock for me today is it's this country, our country that we live in, this nation. It makes my heart ache and my chest to think of the robbery of innocence which we have all referred to. And I'd ask the Secretary of State, how do we start to address this horrific fact? And what steps will the Secretary of State take to address this at every corner of the United Kingdom, along with all of the devolved administrations? Thank you, sir.
Home Secretary.
The Honourable Gentleman is absolutely right about the surprising scale that until people read this report, or perhaps if they haven't been involved in this subject before, 7.5% of adults in England and Wales are estimated to have been sexually abused before they were 16, for example. Approximately 5% of boys, 15% of girls. That equates to probably over 3 million people in this country. To answer his question specifically, I don't think that there is one single thing that can be done to solve that, because as I mentioned earlier, this problem of sexual abuse happens in so many different settings. So we have to act on all fronts and do so simultaneously. This seven-year report, as has been mentioned by many colleagues, brilliantly commissioned by my right honourable friend, is just the start. We now need to make sure that we enact all of those recommendations.
Thank you very much, Madam Deputy Speaker. The report says that the internet is magnifying child sexual abuse and grooming, and as my honourable friend for Penistone Stockbridge said, this has massively increased since the inquiry began under my right honourable friend for Maidenhead. Can my right honourable friend assure me that the Online Safety Bill is strong and unequivocal, and will be put into law as soon as possible, because it does seem to be taking an inordinate amount of time to go through both houses?
Home Secretary.
Yes. I'll certainly be working closely with the Secretary of State and DCMS to make sure that happens. And she's right about the scale of this, but we shouldn't lose sight of the work that our agencies are doing. For example, the National Crime Agency estimate that they make 800 arrests or voluntary attendances and 1,000 safeguards each and every month because of industry reporting. Now, that isn't enough, I appreciate, and we need to make sure that every case is being reported, but they are working and will have increased the amount of work being done over the period that this report has been underway. But she's absolutely right about the need to speed that up.
Robbie Moore.
Thank you very much, Madam Deputy Speaker. And can I also thank my right honourable friend, the member for Maidenhead, for getting this inquiry underway. And of course, the inquiry's recommendations will rightly be considered by government over coming months. And of course, we must not forget who is at the very heart of this, the victims and their families. And I note that the previous Home Secretary, my right honourable friend, the member for Witham, came to Keighley to meet with victims and survivors not that long ago, because unfortunately in Keighley and across the Bradford district, this is something that has haunted our community for far too long: child sexual abuse and child sexual exploitation. So can I ask that the Home Secretary will agree with me that victims and survivors' voices will, as we go to look at these recommendations, be at the very heart of that, so that we do not forget that they are their voices are very important as we go forward?
Home Secretary.
Absolutely, yes. On behalf of the 7,300 victims and survivors who came forward in the course of this report, we owe them a duty to do exactly what he's just suggested.
I thank the Home Secretary for his statement.